not take it for granted. The Bible says, even if two meet, you are there in their midst. What a celebration we have tonight. We thank you for your presence. We pray, Lord, that we will experience you in a unique way tonight. In the name of Jesus, bless the service with your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Put your hands together for the Lord, and you may be seated, please. Amen. All right. Now, tonight, we were supposed to continue our series of messages on leadership, isn't it? And have you been enjoying those messages so far? The video meetings and video services we've been having on the leadership. Amen. Yeah, and there are one or two more powerful ones that we need to see. And by the grace of God, we will see them. Amen. But tonight, as we got here, I just thought of a different plan. Amen. Because Reverend Kweku is here from Switzerland. And I was just thinking, why doesn't he just bless us, you know? So I have asked him to share a little bit with us. For those of you who do not know Reverend Kweku, he is the general superintendent for Europe, actually. And he lives in, or pastors the church in Zurich, in Switzerland. Amen. And he's been preaching on the East Coast in the Maryland area and is actually on his way back home. So he goes back tomorrow. But his bus leaves from here. You get it? The bus he brought leaves from here. So he came this way to catch his bus and is fellowshipping with us tonight. So I think it's a good idea to hear something. What do you think? From the Lord. Through him. Amen. So put your hands together and welcome Reverend Kweku Amdansa, and he's going to share with us just a little bit from the treasures that the Lord has given him. Amen. He's been begging, but I think it is the Lord that shows mercy, not me. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you put your hands together for our dear Bishop, Bishop Joel. Amen. Well, it's good to be here, and we thank the Lord for the life of our dear Bishop, presiding Bishop, Bishop Doug. Amen. It's because God gave him a vision that all that is happening, and I believe we thank God for his life, and we pray that God will keep him, that we will have more places to go to. Amen. Because places where we have never imagined we could go to by the grace of God, through this wonderful man of God, we have gotten to all these places. And I thank God for Bishop Joel's life. Amen. Amen. Oh, you should put your... I think you should clap. Amen. I think I was telling him, until you come to America, you will never know the extent of the work that he's done. But we thank God for his life. Yeah, moving, I mean, it's not a simple thing. You look at one part of America, it's a different world, then you have to move to another world, going to different places. But I believe the apostolic anointing is on his life. That's why, amen, we are here. And for his lovely wife, Lady Pastor Sarah, amen. I haven't seen her in years, but it's nice to fellowship with them again. To see Lady Pastor Aquile, and oh, it's nice. So put your hands together. I think something great is happening in Sunday. The Bible says, though our beginnings were small, yet our latter days we shall greatly increase. Amen. Amen. That our beginnings may look small, but our latter days we shall greatly increase. So something great is begun in this place. Something great is begun in San Ramon. Or is it San Ramon we are? Oakland. Something great is begun here. And I believe we must actually give ourselves to it. Do our best. Because, you know, sometimes the work of God, it looks like when it starts, it doesn't look like, yeah, impressive. And God never does anything that will start impressive. If it starts impressive, it means it's not God. So if God starts it, it's not going to look the way we want it to look like. You know, the Bible says that which God has made crooked, who can make straight? And I've realized that anything God does is not straight. Yeah. It's man who makes things straight, man who put speed limit. This, but if God is doing anything, it's never straightforward. You can't be sure. The weather is not straight. The grass is not straight. The mountains are not straight. If God is doing the thing, it will never be straight. And so we might wonder what is going on, but God is building a mega church in this place. Amen. So we must be encouraged, we must be focused, and we must believe that God is with us. God will help us. God will build a real mega church in this land. And that's why he says, even though our beginnings may be small, we must still keep on pressing on. Because you can be born in a manger with animals, but you are destined for the right hand of God. So the beginning might not look good, but our latter end, we shall see that of a truth, the Lord was with us. The Lord has done great things, and the Lord will keep on doing great things. So I want to say that let's not give up. Let's not give up. We shouldn't give up at all. The thing is, sometimes you feel like this thing, is it going to work? But it will work. Yeah, sometimes it's like we look and then what is going on? It will work. God is training us. God is bringing us up. And we must believe that he is with us. Because if he is in control, then you cannot determine how it's going to go. Yeah, it won't be straight. Because you might have a dream in your father's house, but the dream will be discovered in another land, Egypt. So maybe by the time they sell you and then you are going, you might almost think that the dream is gone. And it can never happen again. You saw your brothers bowing to you. Now the same brothers have sold you. So how do you connect it? But one day, the brothers came and then bowed to him in a foreign land. Because God has a way of doing his things. So let's believe that in everything that is going on, the Lord is in it. The Lord brought Bishop Joel to this part of the world. The Lord brought you into the church. And God has put us here for a reason. We might not understand the reason, but the reason is that souls will be saved. We will build a church for God, and the church will work. Amen. The church will work. I said the church will work. Let's believe. Let's pray more. Let's have faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yeah, by that we obtain a good report from God. And we must know that what we are doing, we are obtaining a good report from God. Because what we see is not, when the thing happens and then we come and then 200 people have gathered, then it's not faith. Now our faith is working. Now, the substance of things is now. Now that you can't see many people, now that we don't have a place of our own, now that we have to come and sometimes it looks like, you know, there's no flow. Now is the time when we must say, God is with us. God is in control. Then we are operating by faith. Are you with me? And the same faith will carry us into greater things. Let's believe that it's going to work. And God will take us there. Another time I'll visit you again. There'll be 50 people gathered. 100 people gathered. 150 people gathered. God is built. He said, I will build my church. And we just have to include ourselves for God to use us. You know, when Bishop sent us to Milton Keynes, and then we were going to start a church in Milton Keynes, when we got there, I called a brother that he should come to church. The brother told me that, look, I can't come to church. And I said, oh, why? He said, there are too many witches in Milton Keynes. And in England, he said, all the witches, their headquarters is Milton Keynes. So he says a church doesn't grow above 50. So if my bishop has sent me and then I have not heard from God, then he doesn't think we can have anything meaningful. I said, well, we don't know what is there, but we will come because the Lord says he will build his church. And we went, and myself and my wife, we didn't even know where we were going. We entered the place. We got there. We looked for a place to meet. And the church started. Sometimes it looked, I remember when my wife was going to have my little boy, she didn't come to church. And that day we were two or three. But we, I was wondering what is going on. Sometimes I used to look through the window and I'll be praying for a long time. Who will come to church? And then one, two people will come. It's like something is not happening. Nothing is not. But you know, the last time Bishop Richard told me I should go to Milton Keynes and then have a convention with them, because they had gotten a new place where now they were going to be on their own. And when I got into the place and I saw about 250 people with the mega choir, I said, God, we need to believe you wherever we are. Know that you can do it. And you know, if he did it then, he is able to do it today, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has done it in times past in Atlanta. He has done it in New York. He has done it in Chicago. He will do it here too. Here too, he's going to do it, because he's the same God. And we are about to see greater works. So let's believe. Let's give ourselves to it. Let's have hope. Now is the time when we must be glad about coming to church. We must go out of our way, invite more people. Say to them, I'm taking you to a mega church. They say, where's the mega church? He said, come to the church. The power of God is flowing. The anointing. And I believe that our bishop is very anointed. He's very anointed. Very, very anointed. Me, I don't see why I should be talking when he should be sitting down. How can you imagine? I want to steal some small, small lessons from him and then take it with me. Now he says that I should. Oh, let's see. But I believe that it will work, and it's working. What do you think, my brother at the back? What do you think? Yeah. So every day you must invite somebody, find somebody different, call the person, tell the person, come to church. You say it's a mega church. Yeah, God will bless you, and God will do it. God will do it. Yeah. As I see the way you started, it reminds me of when we started the Milton Keynes. Oh yeah, 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 it does. And you must be encouraged. Yeah, you come sometimes. When I came, and the day we were only three, when my wife gave birth, yeah, that day I think that was the lowest of our numbers, because when we started, the people come and go, so you are happy. Now one day my wife did not come, then somebody will call you, I have to go for a baby dedication in London, then somebody will call you. I say, hey, then today who will come to church? And I was standing in front of the church waiting when there was a guy who was living in Milton Keynes with his wife. They came, and then another brother was dropped by somebody. When the brother entered and then we finished church, the brother gave his life to Christ. You know, that is our missionary in Papua New Guinea. Yeah. So the day that we were three, God actually got a missionary. The day we were three. So and now you go there. Yeah, the lady, Pastor Leo was telling me when she had the Easter convention, there were about 300. And I said, wow, God. Because when I cast my mind back, it looked like it will never work. I'm telling you. Sometimes you're going to church and you ask yourself, who will come? Yeah, who will come? How is it going to be? But we have a mega church in Oakland. We are building the church and it's going to work. And believe God, trust God, look up to God. And know that sometimes God will do it in a way that you will never be sure. But God is still in control. Because God brought you here and God has planted you in this place. God will establish us in this place. I mean, can you imagine Abraham? God gives him a son. Then he says, go and sacrifice your son for me. I've come to see the way God operates there. It's never straightforward. Yeah, the weather is never straight. The weather people, they calculate the thing. But sometimes they realize that you are not in control. Yeah. When you are in control, you say 6 o'clock I'll go, 7 I'll come, 8 I'll do this. But if you say God's will be done, then it's going to be something else. Yeah, you cannot be sure of it. That he says that Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. And one is hardworking, the other one doesn't do anything. He's sitting at home. The one who is going to look for the meat and then come and cook for his father to bless him. Rather, when he went, the other one passed behind the house, bring that meat, cook it, then he has rather gotten the blessings. So then you wonder, how does God operate? But that's how he works. So we must allow him to be in control. Just flow with what he's doing. Not to be discouraged, but to be faithful and totally depend on him. And have hope that he is bringing us to an expected end. Have hope that something great is happening here. Have hope that something one day will happen in this land that might bring a revival to a certain part of America. We cannot be sure of what he's doing, but we know that he is with us. We know that what we are doing, he is in it. We know that he will take us there. He will take us there. That even though today we come, sometimes it can be discouraging. Ah! Yeah. It's like, what am I doing here? Yeah. But after a while, you will know that he brought you here for a reason. And all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Yeah. And we love the Lord. And because we love the Lord, he has brought us together. Are you with me? And that we shouldn't look at it from one angle and say, ah, maybe if we had stayed somewhere else, it would have been better. Or maybe if church was being done somewhere. No, it's not like that. All things work together. Everything is working together for our good. If Lady Pastor is going to give us soup, I don't expect her to say that we should chew the pepper. No, because if she's going to give us soup, if we chew the pepper, we chew the onions. Yeah, and then we eat some salt and then the tomatoes. And then we drink some hot water and shake your stomach. It will be soup anywhere in your stomach. Yeah, the fresh fish. It will be soup anyway. But, and shake your stomach. It will be soup in your stomach anyway. Yeah. But when we take our time and then it's all put together and then it's prepared, it's boiled at a certain temperature and then it boils for some time, it tastes good. It's better. That's what God is doing with our lives. We can't say if we were there or there, it would have been better. Everything is working together for our good. God will bring us to a place where we will know that he has done something great in our lives. We ourselves could not have done it. What we don't expect, he will give us in this place. The gift we don't expect, he will give us it. The miracles we don't expect, it will come forth in this place. There is a certain knowledge and revelation of God that maybe if we stay in the same place, we will not have it. But if we move, you know, every time you move, God does something that you never had if you would have stayed in the same place. So Ruth said, I'm following Naomi. Then she became the grandmother of Jesus. Yeah, so you see, by the time Jacob is running away from his brother, then he meets God on the way. Every time when we move, God will give us something that we never had before. The man was sold from his land into a different land. Then there he became a prime minister. Even there, he had more revelation. Because in his father's house, when he had a dream, he couldn't interpret it. Do you realize? In his father's house, when he had a dream, he just told them what the dream is. And then they go upset with him. But in a foreign land, this time he could interpret the dreams and other people's dreams. So when God moves us to a different place, different location, he gives us something we never had before. So in this place, there is going to be a revival. In this place, great things are going to happen. In this place, something good will come out. Let's have hope, believe, and have faith that it will work in Oakland in Jesus' name. Amen. Mercy. Bishop Joe, I thought the time was up. It will work. Yeah, God is good. It will work. I have come to believe God that you must have faith. Because when I look at my life, I realize that I have come to believe God, trust God. And it's something that, you know, I was wondering. I always wanted to serve God. Yeah, but I have been a bad boy before. And I was wondering, would God use a person like me? Hey brother, why are you? Are you? You also been? You've joined the bad boys company before, but God can use you greatly. God can use you greatly. Yeah, that's what I never expected. I never expected that God will lift me up. God will give me the kind of woman I'm married to. God, I didn't think God would do all these things for me. But God has done so much more than I could imagine or expect. And I can't believe that God gives me a microphone to preach to people. Now, sometimes I go to Zurich, and then on Sunday, when you enter church, there are 200 people coming, and they say, wow, all these elderly people, Opoku Nti, the footballer. I remember one day when I asked him, Mr. Nti, when is the shepherd's meeting? And he said, Reverend, wait, and he was running, going into the other room, organizing the people. Yeah. And I said, Opoku Nti, the footballer. Hey, what a shock! I said, this footballer is running now. And I said, in fact, God can do too many great things that we don't expect. So I think God will do something with us. Yeah, God will. Brother, rise up. Go on your own. Invite people. You must have a target. Yeah, that between Monday to Friday to the next Sunday, I will call about 20 people, 30 people. Even if you don't know them, just invite them. Yeah, you never know who God will use you to reach. Yeah, and as time goes along, we'll see this place filling up, filling up, filling up, filling up, filling up, filling up. Because if it was Bishop Joel and his wife and Lady Basakwili, and they just came, and then you have come, it means there are others too who can come. Yeah, and who are coming. Yeah, so we must get them to come. And then join us. And pray. Prayer also works. Yeah, we must pray a lot. Yeah, on our own. Pray that God will actually bring something great into this place. Prayer works. Yeah. And you must help Bishop. Yeah, by praying a lot. You must pray. Pray that God will build the church. God will establish the church. God will do something in the church. And it will come to pass. Yeah. Prayer works. It does. Yeah. Not just him. Because sometimes it's like the pastor is the only one who has to pray. But you also have to pray. Yeah. That God will use you too to bring people into the church. You also have to pray that in the beginning it doesn't look good. But God, I want to be part of when the latter days come, when greater increase come, when there's a blessing. I want to be part of it. And the more we pray, the more God will bring the increase. The more we pray, the more God will do something great with our lives. We must believe that God is building his church. Yeah, it's not easy to believe at all. Yeah, as you come, it's not easy to believe. Sometimes you come and nothing is happening. Yeah, and then you say, where is God? But God is here. Yeah, as we are here, God is with us. Yeah, God is taking note of everything we are doing. Our faithfulness today will yield some results tomorrow. Be faithful. Yeah. Abide and remain. You know, when you think about sometimes, I always think about some of the stories in the Bible, and then I realize that God just doesn't choose people. You know, when you think about somebody like Joseph, who was Jesus' father, you know, when you think about his story very well, you realize that the guy, he was a very faithful guy. Yeah, and God must have found him faithful. That's why he chose him. Because you see, when he wanted to divorce Mary, and he said, the angel came to him and then said, do not put her away. Yeah, through a dream. He did as the angel said. And he never slept with a woman. Yeah. And I can imagine a man going with a woman, always at home with her. And because an angel has told you that do not sleep with a woman, because he told her that the baby that the lady is carrying is a holy baby. So do not touch the woman. And he faithfully did. Which I don't know how many people will faithfully walk with a lady and then say that. Sometimes even when you hear it in a dream, you say that, but this dream. I mean, yeah, is it not like I ate too much and then my mind is working this way. Yeah, I was hungry. But you know, he kept to it. He stuck to it. And so we must stay on course. We must remain. Look, God will give us a certain grace. Yeah, God will give us a certain blessing when he finds us faithful, even with the little that he has given us now. And he will train us in these little things that stay with it, do it, let these little ones operate this, let them do this and keep on doing it. And the more we keep on doing it, the more we keep on doing it, the more we keep on, we learn so many things others don't know. As I started traveling to Munich, trying to start a church, always 4 hours in, 4 hours out, I discovered that I learned something that I never knew. Yeah. I in fact, when I started going to Munich and then coming back, I really valued people. You know, sometimes you go to church, people gather, you preach, then you go home, then you think it's automatic that people come to church. But when I started traveling Munich up and down, I discovered that, look, because sometimes you go to church in Munich, nobody comes. It's you and then the person you went with. And I always said, wow, it is not easy for one person to walk through the door to come to church. So I realized that, look, God, there is something you are teaching me here. And we went there, we pray, and even as we pray, sometimes we are 3-4. But when we are leaving the place, we always experience something that I realized that even in Zurich, the big church, we don't experience. Yeah. And I said, wow, sometimes too, in a small setting, once we believe and we trust God, God is able to do great things in there. Where you don't expect that these things will happen. But one day I was thinking about it, and then the Holy Spirit was telling me that, look, David was in the bush with a few sheep. And he defended the few sheep with his life. Because a lion and a bear will come for one of them. Actually, the lion and the bear, they were coming for a lamb. When you read 1 Samuel 17:34, they were coming for a lamb, but not even one of the sheep, one of the little ones. And he would defend it with his life. You know, it gave him a certain confidence that when he saw the king, and then the king said, but you are of a youth, how can you fight this? He said that, look, one day I was looking after my father's sheep. A bear and a lion came for one. I will not allow him. And he said that the God who delivered him from the hands of those and the paws of those bears and lions, he is the same God who would deliver him from the hand of this giant. So you see, he had learned something in the background. He had learned how to skillfully live with few things. He had been faithful in handling a few. So now God had trained him from that place. He was ready to handle giants. So in here, God will train us. God will teach us something. God wants to give us a certain grace. God wants to do something with us. And right now, God is actually working on us, preparing us for something great. So may the Lord help us to believe, to abide, to remain. May the Lord help us to be focused. May the Lord help us to be faithful. May the Lord help us to take what we are doing serious. May the Lord help us to believe in our bishop and believe in the things that is happening around. And I believe he will take us there. Greater works will happen in this house. Greater works are coming into this house. And greater works shall come to pass in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So I think next time I will meet you again. We'll be faithful in handling a few, such that we would have qualified to handle much. And I believe the grace is on us now. Now we have the opportunity, because we are few, to be faithful with what is not much, knowing that more will come. And he will look at how we are faithful with the little to give us much. Because he says, he that is faithful with little will be faithful with much. So he doesn't bless you, or he doesn't look at your faithfulness when you have much. He looks at your faithfulness when you have little. How faithful we will be with this little will determine how much we are going to have in the future. May the Lord bless us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bishop Joel.
Amen.
He's my brother-in-law. He's got to be.
Hallelujah. Amen. I think it's a very powerful, encouraging message. What do you think? Amen. Amen. I believe that God is with us. Do you believe it?
I do.
I believe that God is with us. And I like how he said that sometimes it doesn't feel that way. But it's important that our walk with God should not be based on feelings. Do you see? It should be based on fact and faith in the fact. Amen. It is through our faith that we get the fact. It is our faith that makes it a fact. Do you understand? So like when God says two or three are gathered, I am there. It doesn't, even if you feel he's there or not, it doesn't matter. He says he's there. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. So you don't have to say where two or three are feeling something, then I'm there. Or where two or three are shaking or something, then I'm there. Do you understand? People shake, but they can't shake. Maybe they are even cold. do you understand? So just if you base your knowledge of or your sensitivity to the presence of God on things you feel and so on, you can always be deceived. Because maybe what you are feeling is if somebody is shaking at the back like Michael, and you don't know that. No, he's trying to keep his baby still. That's the only reason why he's shaking. You see, so he's holding the baby like that and just going like that. And then you look at that and say, oh, Michael is shaking. The presence of God must be here. You get it? But you are deceived. Amen. So I believe it, and I believe that God is going to build a great mega church out of this place. Every day I feel it, and these days I feel it more, especially on Sunday morning. Yeah, I feel it more and more that our church is becoming more spiritually substantial. Amen. God is adding to us in the realm of the spirit, and we're going to see it manifest itself. Do you understand? I see that when God is trying to do something, see, let me just show you this in Exodus chapter 2 or 3. I was reading this morning from the book of Exodus. Wow. Exodus chapter, what did I say, 2? Okay, go to chapter 3. You see, Exodus chapter 3. Is powerful, very encouraging. All right, so Exodus chapter 3, God is meeting with Moses, isn't it? And then look at verse 5 says, and he said, draw not nigh. Or even verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Can you see that? Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. So can you just picture it? As the Lord says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then it says right there, Moses says, hey! And he covers his face. Do you see? Doesn't want, it says, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a land good and large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come to me, and have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You know, Now, you notice how God is saying a lot of big things here. Do you see? God is saying, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down. It's like now I've come down. I'm coming to end this misery. It's like a short time. Do you understand? So as God is talking and saying all the big things that are happening, I mean, then when God gets to the place and he says that, so you come and let me send you. Then you see in verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I? It's like the project and the person you have chosen, they don't match. Are you getting it? Yeah. It's like you're saying all these big things. I'm coming to deliver them from their taskmasters. And I'm going to take them to the place of the Hivites and the Jebusites. These are nations. Do you understand? These are countries. Can you imagine if God appeared to you and says, I'm coming and I'm going to use you. He said, no, I'm going to deliver my people out of every foreign land. I'm going to remove them from Iran, from Iraq, from Afghanistan. And he mentioned so many countries. And then at the end of it, he says, you come, Akwesi, and you are the one for this project. No wonder the guy said, who am I? This project you are going to do, you see. But that's exactly how God works. It looks like what he has in mind and how he begins it, as he was saying, who he even chooses to use to do such a big project. See, Moses was genuinely surprised that for what God has listed and for what he has described is actually him he's thinking about. It's just like, you can't be serious, God. I can't tell you this, but you see, he said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And the Lord said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. So, what he is saying here is that the proof that I have sent you is when the thing works, you see. You get it? He said, this will be the token. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, then you will know that I truly sent you to do this. Hallelujah. So, until then, you are just left walking by faith and just believing God. Hallelujah. So I think that we should not allow ourselves at any point at all to go by the things we see and the things we feel. I've touched my feelings from these kinds of things. Who came, who didn't come. I don't even think about those things anymore. Hallelujah. I'm just blessed to be in church. If I came, I think it's okay. I'm happy that I came. Amen. And I feel blessed all the time in the services. And I feel that the church is growing, is multiplying, is becoming spiritually stronger and spiritually substantial. And as we become spiritually substantial, we are going to see a physical, a corresponding physical substance coming to us in the form of a larger membership. Do you believe it? Yeah. Very soon our Sunday service will now be the Tuesday service. Do you see? Those who come on Sunday will now be the Tuesday service. That means we'll have a new level of Sunday type of experience. You get it? And then it goes on like that, and it goes on like that. And you won't know how it became or how it worked. But before you know it, you'll see that the Lord has done it. Hallelujah. So it's powerful, and we are blessed, Pastor Kweku. Thank you very much for spontaneous encouragement. Hallelujah. Yeah, because he goes to church in Zurich in the morning, and then he goes to Munich later in the day to that place where God is. Do you understand? Yeah, so it's amazing how you can feel God more in Munich, where there's nobody, you get it, and then you feel him in Zurich. But it's just the way God is. You get it? He's two extremes. This is a long project. Their cry has come to me, and I am come down now to come and deliver them. And I'm sure Moses was wondering, so where are you? I mean, he said, God has come down to deliver them. I mean, when he even found out he was talking to God, he said, I can't even look. So when God says, I'm come down now to deliver them, then it's like, okay, keep talking, keep talking. And then he says, okay, so now come, let me send you. So you are the person I'm sending. Like when you say, I'm come down, it means Moses is coming. God, how can you, who am I? Project is too big for me. Hallelujah. But God said, oh, no, no, don't worry about that. You may look like it's a mismatch, but I will certainly be with you. That's what makes the difference. Amen. So God is with us. Do you understand? God is with us. That's why we shouldn't take the services for granted. Amen. That's why we should be serious with every aspect of the service. We should be serious with the worship and the praise. We should be serious with the singing, with our new choir. Do you see? And the music and the musicians and every. We should be serious because the thing is a big, it's a serious project. You get it? And God is blessing it in a very serious way. You see? So we should take it seriously and we'll be surprised. People will be having experiences in the service that we cannot explain. Yeah, you will not know what someone has experienced. I mean, you should even think about it. Why do people keep coming to the church? Do you understand? Yeah, why do people keep coming? Because we don't wake them up in the morning. There's no payment. We don't give them tips for coming to church or anything. But they come because they must be feeling something. Do you understand? They must be experiencing God in a way. The whole service has a meaning to them that you and I may not even know about. Amen. So the greater one is with us. God is with us. He has sent us on this mission. And I believe that he will bring it to pass in a very spectacular way by his grace. Amen. So it's going to be a blessing. Powerful. Stand to your feet and let's take 2 minutes to pray for the church. And then we will receive our offering. And then we will close. Hallelujah. Yeah. Just begin to pray, everybody, and just say, Lord, help us in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, oh God, for choosing us. Choosing us. Choosing us. Thank you for your plan. You bring different people to your project at different stages, and we are blessed to be brought in at this stage. We are blessed to be brought in right from the beginning. We don't even know what you see in us that makes you choose us, oh God, for this part of the project. But we do know for sure that we are grateful. We do recognize it is your hand at work. It is your hand at work. It is your hand at work. And what the Lord does, the Bible says, it shall be forever. Nothing shall be taken away from it, and nothing shall be added to it. It is the work of God. It is the hand of God. It is the work of God. It is the hand of God. And it's advancing. Nothing can stop the hand of God. No man can stop God. Nothing can stop God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh yes, Lord, I'm Moshiki Falababa. Imuru Shaka Falababa, Ramashandaria Baba, Yes, Lord, Thank you, Lord. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your to us. Thank you for lifting us up. Thank you, Father, for strengthening us again, giving us a new vision, new faith, new strength, new energy, oh God, to go forth in this work and with your plan, oh God. I just pray, oh God, that you will continue to keep us and help us to be faithful. Give us grace, O God, to continue to see your plan through your eyes. Give us faith to continue to do your will and to continue to pursue your plans and purposes. We pray for open doors. We pray for favor, O God, with you and with man in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the supply of all our needs as a church. We thank you, O God, that you will supply all our needs, O God, according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We understand tonight, Lord, there is nothing you can't do. We understand tonight that faithful is he who has called us, who will also do it. And we thank you. This is not our work. You are the builder of churches. You are the builder of your own house. And we believe that you will build your church and the gates of hell. No matter how hard they try, no matter how hard they push, they will not prevail. Because the Lord himself is the builder of the city. We thank you, O God, that our foundations are of you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that our foundations are established by you. Thank you, Lord, that this is your work. What the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. And nothing shall be taken away from it. And nothing can be added to it. The Bible says you do it that men may see and fear. So we thank you, Lord, for tonight. And we thank you for your presence once again. We are grateful to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.